Hello, indoor kids, and welcome to The Indoorsman, your podcast guide to the great indoors. I am your sick boy host, Matt.
And I am your always healthy Cliff host.
Which is just a sign that there's something deeply wrong with you. You're a vampire, aren't you?
No, I spend too much time playing summer sports to be a vampire.
I mean, there's pretty high SPF sunscreen these days. We do live in Australia, so...
I'm actually a product of the Weapon X program. I just have overhealing. Yeah.
So you were like weapon one when they just sort of got the healing and nothing else?
Well, I mean, the others didn't really. They don't have a lot of other stuff either. They, I mean, they got their grafty metal bones and stuff, but they already had their claws and whatnot already.
That's true.
They just got a bit of armor plating.
Cool. So it's not so much that you heal instantaneously, it's just you don't get sick.
Exactly.
Cool. Well, ever. I guess that's a superpower. There is a mutant called Gold Balls whose only power is to produce gold balls, so...
I mean, that's a pretty awesome power. Scare.
It is. They go poink when he creates them. He beat up Magneto one time.
Okay. Yeah. I was not aware of this mutant.
He's great. He was in the Uncanny X-Men run from like a year ago, which is very good, and the art is amazing, so you should read it.
The X-Men that I have read is from about the 94, 95 through to about 2009.
I can't even look at the 90s, early 2000s X-Men because the art is just unpleasant to me.
You know, it's unpleasant.
I can't do it.
Days of Future Past.
It went from like terrible like overlap ink printing and like horrible structure and Liefeld to basically just tracing over photos for a while, which was not any better.
Yeah, but like I said, Days of Future Past, it's the old age of comics. Yeah, it's tough to read after reading modern comics. Yeah. It's good though, but like it is rough.
I'm okay with my modern comics where nobody's white, nobody's straight, and everybody's got problems. It feels very comfortable. But that's not what we're here to do today. We're not here to shit all over Marvel Comics. We are here to talk about video games and television and other indoor activities.
Yeah, we'll shit all over Marvel Comics next week.
Yeah. Well, I've been consistently shitting all over Marvel recently for Iron Fist, but we'll get to more of that later in the episode as well. Firstly, Cliff, what have you been up to this week?
I've pretty much just been playing PUBG. Going pretty hardcore into it.
Yeah.
My solo game is still pretty solid. Lots of top 10 finishes. Another win in a couple of seconds this week. So, yeah, it's been pretty good.
Cool. I've seen there's some updates on their way. Like, you'll be able to mantle soon, which seems
vaulting,
like a...
and climbing and all kinds of crazy stuff like that. So, now you have to watch out for people on top of rooftops and various other things. And, yeah, it just means you have to look up a lot more as opposed to looking out in front of you.
Game changer. But I mean, it is early access, so they can really change anything they want in the basic structure at this point.
Pretty much, and vaulting is something we all want because walls are horrible. Things you can step over, you have to jump, and then you'll hit a weird hitbox, so you'll jump, but you'll slide sideways along it. It's horrible. So the sooner they bring that stuff in, the better.
Yeah, cool. Well, I have been playing multiple games, you know, just for something different. Firstly, Sonic Mania, which came out on everything this week.
Not
on
PC.
A Tuesday. Not PC?
No, it comes out on PC in a couple of weeks' time, I think.
That's right, it got delayed on the PC, so nothing new there. I played it on Switch. It's really good. It's like, it's a Sonic game.
Well, quite literally,
not
it is
like
Sonic the Hedgehog.
Not a modern Sonic game, which are not Sonic games. It is a Sonic game in the vein of the classic Mega Drive titles.
That would be because it actually is existing Sonic levels that have been tweaked and added to.
Not just tweaked and added to, totally reworked and improved.
Yes, but they are existing levels that have been modernized, basically.
Some of them, like Green Hill Zone, Chemical Plant Zone, they're in there. And a couple of others that I can't remember off the top of my head. But a Casino Night Zone, I think, is in there. It's so good. This is the kind of game where they've taken the nostalgia and built up from it. So it's not just recreating the original thing, but improving it so it meets modern standards without changing the basic formula. And it's been so much fun. It is so self-referential. There's stuff like... there's a level where it's all themed on TV broadcasts, and part of the background noise in the level is last year for the 25th anniversary of Sonic, they did a live stream which went horribly wrong. There was problems with the video and the audio. There was a persistent, like, horrible buzzing, screeching noise throughout the entire stream, and it basically just fell apart, much in the same way that the Pokemon Go Fest did. So when you are being sort of transmitted between the TV vans to the television screens, which is one of the sort of methods of traversal in the level, it plays a recreation of that sound. This is a bit funny. Of a dig at Sonic history. Mm. One of the boss levels is literally just a game of Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine, which is a little known Sonic game that was actually just Puyo Puyo Pop, like with a Sonic skin over the top of it. All the animations are the same, but there's new ones so they can sort of expand the mechanics and stuff. The special levels are recreations of the original special levels, but then there's a second layer of them, which is a totally new sort of racing thing where you've got to collect speed up spheres to catch a UFO that's carrying a Chaos Emerald, but it's made to look like, you know, Mode 7 style 3D from like the SNES or Genesis days. It's great. And all the levels where they are sort of recreating original levels, like Green Hill Zone, Act 1 has the original music, which has obviously been polished up to sound good on modern speakers. And the second act is like a remix of the music with more modern sensibilities, which is great because it just sort of builds up. You don't even notice it at first that it's improving. The bosses are recreations of old bosses and sort of referential to all that kind of stuff. And there's a bunch of sort of extra stuff you can unlock. there's a mode you unlock, I think, at the end of the game. I haven't gotten there yet. You know, there's a meme that goes around that anytime something has a really long title, they just add and Knuckles to the end of it? Same as sort of Sonic 3 and Knuckles, Sonic 2 and Knuckles.
I was not aware of that particular meme, no.
Ah, you do not spend enough time on Tumblr, then.
That's because Tumblr is a piece of crap.
You know, you'll have like a photo of a badly translated Chinese restaurant name, you know, very good fine dining chicken, and someone will just sort of Photoshop in and Knuckles underneath. So there's an and Knuckles mode where no matter who you're playing as, Knuckles just follows you around the same way Tails does.
Yeah, I've heard you can play as Knuckles with Knuckles.
Yeah, you can be Sonic and Knuckles, Tails and Knuckles, or Knuckles and Knuckles. Unfortunately, you can't be Sonic and Tails and Knuckles, which would be amazing, but I guess there's limitations. I've been really enjoying it, other than a weird bug where it takes forever to get back to the home screen, which apparently they're patching. But yes, it is very clear that this is the kind of good game you get when you don't let Sonic Team touch Sonic. You let the people who actually love Sonic create it instead. Because the main dude behind it all, Christian Whitehead, he was one of those guys who'd build, you know, like custom hacked Sonic ROMs.
Yeah.
And he and another guy built some form of emulator structure or something that could let you play the games on a mobile device. So as a testbed example, they sort of recreated Sonic CD on iPhone and Android. And the project got shut down by Sega, because of course it did. But then a couple months later, they came back and said, oh no, we want you to do it legit now. So they released Sonic CD on all the mobile platforms, and then they got given free rein to make Sonic Mania, which is very weird for any game company to... like, not completely shut down a fan project, for one thing, but then also go and legitimize it at the same time.
It's because it's Sega and not Nintendo.
Yeah, that's true. And it's really going to work out well for them, because Sonic Forces is coming out later this year, and it's going to be bad. So at least they'll get one good Sonic game this year. But yeah, it's been a lot of fun. I haven't finished it yet. Some of the bosses are fucking annoying. Fucking Metal Sonic. Fuck him. Fuck that guy.
I always liked Metal Sonic.
Good character, terrible boss fight. but other than that, there's a couple of other games I've been rotating through. Firstly is one that I didn't actually expect to get, called Hellblade: Senua's Sacrifice, which is by Ninja Theory, who made like Heavenly Sword back on the PS3 days, and something else more recent that I can't remember. Enslaved Odyssey to the West, which is kind of a recreation of the monkey tale in a post-apocalyptic world, which was very pretty.
Right. Not familiar with the game, familiar with monkey.
Oh, you should play it. It's really good. Anyway, Hellblade is set in sort of ancient Norse times, and you're a woman venturing into Helheim to rescue her lover, who's dead, and she's going to sort of take his soul back to the real world. The problem is Senua has psychosis. So the whole time she's wandering around, she's hearing voices and sort of doubting herself and seeing visions and all this kind of stuff. At the start of the game, they recommend you play it with headphones for the binaural sound.
Mm-hmm.
And anyone who doesn't play that game with headphones is a fucking idiot, because it is the most terrifying, creepy experience, because all these voices that you're hearing are moving around your head. There's like a main narrator voice who's sort of telling stories about Senua's past, and it sits like right behind your left ear at all times. Kind of sounds like Tilda Swinton, which I guess is nice. But all these other voices are sort of coming in from different directions and roaming around your head and stuff. Some of them are sort of supporting you, some of them are sort of working against you. So it'll be like, go that way, go that way. It's like, no, go that way, don't go that way, you'll die, you'll die. It's like, you can do it. And they're like, no, she can't, she's going to die. And they'll like laugh at you if you take too long to find an objective and stuff like that.
This sounds like it should be in a Deadpool game.
It's definitely a lot less lighthearted than that. But yeah, it's definitely a weird mindfuck game. And like all of the puzzles and stuff you solve are about sort of perception. Like you have to fight some gods. So you fight the god of illusion. So all of his sort of puzzles leading up to him are sort of tricks of imagery and stuff. And yeah, it's very atmospheric. It's a lot of walking around and listening, but fucking amazing. I think it's only like 6 or 8 hours long, but I don't think you could make a game of this style much longer than that without just utterly exhausting yourself.
Not enough games use interesting sound gimmicks.
Yeah.
A lot of games that focus very much on visual gimmicks, not so much on the sound gimmicks. So it's good to see we're getting some sort of sound, something cool coming out that could potentially change, if you know, things, how we play some stuff.
Yeah, and it's amazing, like having all these voices. Like on top of that, you've got great sound design in general, because they used a binaural recording to make sure it all worked properly. But they've also got really good sort of environmental sounds. You know, it's Norse, so there's a lot of rain, a lot of thunder, and sort of creepy sound design around the gods and stuff. One of them, anytime you sort of look in his direction, you hear chanting, so it helps you sort of home in on him that way as well. But man, those voices. At one point, like, it's kind of in a scene where it's made to... It's sort of a required failure moment, where you have to sort of be taken down by some enemies. The combat's kind of sparse, but it's a bit Dark Souls-y. And you have to be taken down to learn the mechanics. She has a curse, and the more she dies, the more it moves up her arm, with the threat being that if it reaches her head, your save file gets deleted.
Yeah, I heard about this particular thing, yeah.
I think it's a bit of a fake-out, but it's kind of this pending threat, and you can see it moving up her arm the more you fail. But when you get taken down, all the voices are going at you, like, you know, 4 or 5 of them talking at once, but then there's some that'll sort of start behind your left ear, move around your head to the right ear, just sort of whispering the whole time. It's a game you've got to play in the dark by yourself with headphones on, because otherwise you're just not getting the full experience.
Right.
It was also really nice that I got a gift card that let me buy a PSN card to pay for half of this game. I don't think I would have paid for it otherwise. It's only like $45, but still, for something I was just a complete unknown factor, having to only pay sort of $15 for it in the end was a really good thing, because I wouldn't have tried this game otherwise.
Right, cool.
The other game, the last of the three I've been playing this week, is a copy that was sent over to us by the fine folks at Five Star Games, Agents of Mayhem, from the team behind Saints Row.
Yep, so yeah, Balls Out Craziness to spin off into Balls Out Craziness, or what appears to be anyway.
Yeah, it's not exactly what I was expecting. From looking at the kind of the coverage of the game, they were talking about all these sort of three-man teams of, you know, wacky, kooky characters. I kind of expected it to be like an arena sort of 3-on-3 competitive thing, more in the vein of something like Overwatch or Team Fortress 2. It's not. It's like a roaming open-worldy game with, you know, sort of big time traversal, not quite as big as Saints Row 4, you know, superpowers here. But you're moving around the city of Seoul and fighting bad guys that sort of appear, driving around. It's kind of a sequel to Saints Row, but not really. It's not set in the same universe, but there's a lot of the same elements. So they talk about like Steelport and Stillwater. Obviously you're in Korea, so you're not there. And some of the characters appear. There've been trailers that show Johnny Gats in it, but a version of him that's a police officer in Seoul instead.
Right, like, so we're getting like an Earth 2 kind of vibe.
Kind of. And one of the first heroes you get in sort of the original three-person squad is a guy called Hollywood, who's an actor, but is clearly meant to be sort of a recreation of the boss from the Saints Row games. And I found Pierce, who's kind of like a hip-hop star or something. So there's sort of carryover bits, but it's not a Saints Row game. It's also not as good as a Saints Row game. I'm sorry to say. The driving feels off. Like, Saints Row didn't have realistic driving, but it had driving that felt good. You sort of ramping around the city. For one thing, I think the viewpoint's just too close in Agents of Mayhem. So you kind of feel like you can't see where you're going. It's sort of too low behind the car.
I hate that, yeah. Whenever you have to drive, I want to be back and off the car as much as possible.
Exactly. I need to be able to see where I'm going. And I haven't really looked into it properly. I don't think you can change the viewpoint. It doesn't have, you know, close, far, driver's seat or anything. It's just kind of locked in this position. You can kind of swing the camera a bit, but it always pivots back to this shitty behind the car look that I really, really hate.
I also hate auto pivoting back to the point of view. Yeah. I just want a button that does it for me so I can pivot it as much as I want and I'll hold where I put it unless I hit a button and then it will swing back. I reset.
Yeah, like, let me tap in the analog stick to lock it in place or something.
Yeah, like, let me control the camera. You give me the camera controls to the thing. Don't stop me from controlling the camera.
Exactly. And I mean, the kind of the gist of the game is you've got all these heroes who are the agents of mayhem, who are fighting the Ministry of Pride, because everyone needs to have a fancy name. So you've got, I think it's 12 different heroes with another one coming as DLC. And they're all kind of unique personalities, very much like Overwatch, which is what kind of drew me to that comparison in the first place. So you've got heavy hitters, you've got people who are good at taking down shields, you've got agility fighters, and then sort of specialized one. There's a Russian super soldier called the Yeti who has an ice gun. And
great name for a character, by the way, called the Yeti. Yep. Great name.
Agent Yeti, who was created by General Winters, so of course he was. You've got Hollywood, who has lots of showy moves, and everyone has a special ability, which on PS4 you use sort of the right trigger, and a mayhem ability, which is a bar that fills up the more damage you do, and it's sort of a big special that lasts for, you know, 10, 15 seconds or something, and they're all kind of unique to the character. So Hollywood has, his special is like a grenade he shoots basically by thrusting at the enemy, so I think it comes out of his pants. But his special is...
Have you seen that epic gif? It reminds me that there's an epic gif of some movie, and it's, I think it's called Cops or something like that, and there's the dude, he's got his gun, he flips it up in the air, unbuttons his pants, it like falls into the front of his pants, he zips back up and then thrusts and it shoots, and he like shoots some guy with it. It's an amazing gif. It's completely ridiculous. It's not supposed to be in any way real. It's amazing. It just reminds me of that.
I mean, it's definitely in that vein. His like mayhem ability is he puts on sunnies and says like, cue the special effects, and sort of explosions go off all around him and he can shoot without having to reload his gun, and, you know, big sort of action sequence music plays and all this kind of stuff. And you can sort of customize this loadout of three characters. It's weird because you don't control the three of them at once. It's not like you play one and then the other two are AI. Only one character exists in the world at a time, and you sort of just toggle between them and one teleports in, the other teleports out, which means you sort of kind of forces you to cycle through them because when they're in reserve, they recharge health and stuff, which is kind of a cool mechanic. But a lot of them just don't feel good. They have like one thing they're good at doing, like energy weapon people can take down shields, but other than that, they're pretty much just destroyable. So
right.
I don't like that so much. I found a couple that feel good, but yeah, so I mean, they've got all this diversity of heroes, and there's some cool ones. They've got the Yeti. There's like a roller derby chick who all of her powers are sort of derby themed, and her melee attack is basically body checking the enemy. But it feels kind of shallow. Like, for one thing, you get taken down way too easily, and there's no clear screen indications that you're low on health. It kind of has a bit of a fade in effect. Like, when your shields go down, you get a bit of a blue fade on the sides of the screen. When your health is low, you get a red fade. But this game it's a lot of effects, like lasers everywhere, explosions, all this kind of flashy stuff. That
kind of thing gets lost easily.
Yeah, you can't see it, and there's not really any audio cue. Like, you know, Mass Effect, for instance, you get that really nice sort of like shattering sound when your shields go down. And when you're sort of low on health, on top of the sort of blood veins coming out on the side of the screen, you've got like a heartbeat thing that really tells you
the sound
you
numbing,
need to fuck off.
The sound dumbing down and then getting the heartbeat sound and color bleeding away so everything goes black and white is very common these days. A very common cue.
Yeah, there's none of that. There's just, there might be an audio cue, but again, like just like the fade on the side of the screens, it gets lost.
Yeah.
It seems kind of cool. There's a lot of cool character design. So all of the heroes are great. The villains are pretty well designed as well. But it doesn't feel like it's not ridiculous enough to be a Saints game. And I'm kind of enjoying it, but getting taken down, the checkpointing is not very good. So I find myself having to backtrack a lot. There's also like 16 difficulty levels.
What? Why? Yeah.
They're kind of graded, so you don't get all of them straight away. You've got like 0 to 5 to begin with, and then as you sort of progress through the game, you get the later levels. Or I think as you level up your characters, you get the later ones. And, you know, incrementally, the higher difficulty you go, the more sort of cash and XP bonuses you get. But 16 of them.
That 16. Is excessive.
And you know what? I get shitty at getting taken down by these randos because the levels are too narrow or I get boxed in or something like that. Also, there's a way to revive your heroes when they get killed, but I cannot figure out how to do it. I maybe missed that prompt or something. But yeah, so I've just been playing on like difficulty 1. It's like no cash or XP bonuses, but whatever, I can actually make it through the game without getting too frustrated. It seems like it has a lot of potential. It just doesn't feel polished. Some of the effects don't work. It's a bit buggy. So yeah, I mean, that's always going to happen for a new release game these days. But I haven't quite found the fun yet. I found a bit of fun, but not consistently. And all it makes me feel is I really want a proper Saints game. Give me Saints Row 5.
Right, okay. So you found some fun, but you haven't found the fun.
Yeah. There's moments, but like unlocking the new characters are great. Like all of the intros for the characters are these nicely animated scenes. And story events get animated cutscenes as well, which is cool because they're well animated. You know, it's not Disney quality, but it's not stills either, so it's a nice middle ground. But yeah, just I'm not loving it as much as I would hope to from something from the Saints team. I'll persevere. Like, maybe once you get over the hump, it gets better. Maybe I just haven't found the best heroes yet.
Maybe you're missing some game mechanic that just makes the game awesome, and you just haven't found it, like the ability to get people back up again. You've just somehow missed something.
Yeah, I feel like maybe not enough of the Saints team has carried over to quite nail it. I mean, it's got some blue humor. Like, you fight a guy who is like a weapon designer and he shoots out energy balls at you, so they make lots of reference to the word balls. You go to a planetarium, so they talk about Uranus a bunch, but it's just not as punchy as the Saints humor, I think. So
right. Yeah. I've never played a Saints Row game, so I don't actually.
Never.
I mean, I've played a bit of Saints Row. What was the one that came out when the first PAX came out? I played that at PAX, like a preview bit, but I hadn't played them before, so I didn't really know what I was doing much. I was just leaping around.
Oh, okay.
Making people dance with a dubstep gun, stuff like that.
Yeah, that was Saints Row 4.
Right, okay, yeah. So I played a bit of that, but I haven't really played a Saints Row game. Because I saw, when Saints Row for me, I saw it, I'm like, well, this is just a pale GTA ripoff, and I've already played GTA, so I'm good. But then I do know that they have branched off and become their own very separate, very cool thing. So don't get me wrong, like, I know they're different to GTA, but in my mind, I'm just like, yeah, you know, it was a GTA clone. I've played tons of GTA, I'm good.
Yeah, it definitely started as a GTA clone. Like, Saints Row 1 was sort of building up a gang. It was very GTA. Saints 2, they kind of branched out. There were things like, there was a side mission where you had to lower property values by going around and spraying sewage on people's houses. So they're starting to get a bit goofy. Like, Saints Row 3 is where they really came into their own. And then 4, they're just like, fuck it, superpowers. And then there was the spin-off, which is in Hell, so more like angel and demon powers can continue the trend. And then Volition shut down. So hopefully Saints Row 5 is somewhere out there in the wings waiting to be announced, because I would love that. But I guess I'll kind of keep plugging away at Agents in the meantime and see how we go. I can think of one thing we've both been viewing in the past week, though.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you can guess what it is, Cliff.
Rick and Morty.
Well, yes.
Game of Thrones.
Definitely. I'm further ahead of you, then.
Yes, because you're a nasty hack boy. That's why.
What? I don't know what you're talking about. It's Defenders.
It is Defenders. A shorter season than I was hoping for. I've completed it now. What about you?
Yeah, I've finished it as well. Yep. Probably shouldn't go into too much detail because it's literally just come out. But overall, what were your impressions?
I thought it was great. I loved it.
I 3/4 loved it.
You have got this... well, I will admit that Iron Fist is not perfect. You have got this like vendetta against anything that has him in it.
I am not the only one, though.
I think people have had their mind set and it's become fashionable to shit all over Iron Fist in any form. He was perfectly serviceable in Defenders.
He was serviceable. Jessica Jones was amazing. The other two were pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, definitely, I don't think it's too much of a spoiler to say that Defenders kind of shits on Danny a little bit. They definitely sort of dig into, you know, he's not the most level-headed dude, and he sort of doesn't recognize his privilege. There's a really cool scene where they sort of call him out on that. And I guess he's a bit redeemed, but I'm still not super happy with him. Anytime he was on screen, I'm just like, oh, shut up.
Well, the one thing that is very consistent and kind of logical about the character is that he never grew up. Like, he was trained as a fighter, so he's obviously mature from a battle point of view, but he's not a mature adult. He never has been. So when people give him shit about being not an adult, that's kind of a bit harsh and a bit unfair.
I mean, you say he's like battle ready, but literally every fight he gets into, he gets the shit beaten out of him.
Yeah, but that's because he's also a kid still. Like, he doesn't have that maturity, that patience as an adult. So he rushes in and gets his ass kicked because he doesn't have the patience.
I guess.
Look, he's not great, really, but he gets shit on a little bit unfairly.
So yeah, Jessica Jones season 1.5 was pretty good.
Oh yeah, she was amazing. And like, Jessica Jones is a great character. She's by
pretty
far
much
the,
all
the
she's doing is
the,
shitting
the
on everyone else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's easy to love her because she's just doesn't give a fuck about anything. Like, this is fucking stupid. I'm out of here. And she walks away.
Yeah. And I mean, pretty much the other characters had great moments based on interacting with her. So that was kind of nice to see. Probably shouldn't say too much more. Maybe we can do a spoiler cast or something about this.
Perhaps, yeah. I mean, it did. One of my gripes with it is it did suffer from the same thing that every other show suffers from all the time, and that's
drag.
Well, it's not. No, it's not that. It's okay. So, we're in a world where they acknowledge the incident in New York.
Oh my God! Yes.
Right. So we're in a world where we know that there's a dude named Iron Man. We know there's a god named Thor. We know there's a Hulk. And yet it's so batshit crazy out there that a kid should happen to have a glowing fist that he can punch a shit out of people with, that he learned from crazy secret monks in a basic Shangri-La. That seems to be a massive giant leap, and it's a completely unbelievable one. What, of all people, Jessica should have just gone, well, yeah, I've seen some pretty crazy fucked up shit. That's not such a big stretch. I expected it from her to be like, yeah, well, okay, like, it's dumb and this is crazy, but yeah, I've seen weirder shit. So, and that's one thing the show suffers from.
And you know what? Like, yeah, that complete like absence of recognition of the Marvel Universe beyond the incident is really easy to solve. Like, you don't need to be name dropping the heroes all the time. Like, literally, when someone during the season of Defenders said, "I can't believe this is happening to New York," all they had to do was add the word "again."
Yeah,
and that covers it. Like, "I can't believe this is happening to New York again."
Yeah, and if someone, when Danny Rand was telling his story, which it's funny that they do call him out on that he'll tell anyone, like Colleen says it, that he dare tell anyone to listen. Yep. That was funny. That was good. But when he said, oh yeah, I'm the immortal Iron Fist, blah, 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 all this sort of shit, and everyone's like, that's just stupid. That's crazy. Like, what are you talking about? All someone had to do was go, aliens invaded this city. Like, yep. Why is this crazy? Why is that not crazy and this is crazy? And then it's gone, okay, cool.
Even just, like, can't you come up with a better name? We've already got an Iron Man. Like, it doesn't take much.
Yeah, it's, that you can send your gripes to Stan Lee and the rest of Marvel.
Yeah.
But it's just one of those things that just annoys the shit out of me when far weirder shit has happened and they just conveniently forget that just for a moment of, we need to have these guys, we need to have some friction between the characters. The friction between, Power Man and Iron Fist, that was legit. Like, that was good. Two completely different walks of life. They're both right and they're both wrong at the same time. That is legit good. Because they are like, it's not one or the other. It's both at the same time. So there's polar opposites. That was good. But just, yeah, like, he can't be magical. It's like, for real? Aliens.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I get that there's some whole thing between the cinematic and Netflix and TV universes existing together but not really being able to talk about each other, but they need to get over it because it's this weird gap. It's like the first season of Supergirl refusing to say the name Superman. It's just an obvious omission that becomes more obvious the more you do it.
Exactly. So yeah, like that part of it just annoys me, but then every single show ever does that. Every time there's any, it's prevalent, not so much in regular reality type shows, where you actually, it's grounded in supposed to be real life, but as soon as you have a superhero show or a comic show or a, sci-fi, or fantasy stuff, it just seems like in this world of crazy amazingness, people don't acknowledge or they will refuse to accept something that's actually quite mundane in comparison. Yeah, it annoys me. But it was great.
Yeah.
I really liked it.
Yeah, it was really solid.
The team-up was also great.
Yes, there's the no team-up fights were amazing.
Iron Fist actually fights in this. And it was actually, his fights were good in this.
Yeah, the choreography was so much better in this than in actual Iron Fist.
Yeah.
So at least when he was fighting, he looked cool.
Yeah, and I did like lots of whenever Jessica or Luke were fighting, bodies were just flying across rooms or into ceilings. It was funny. It was good.
Yeah, you've got the rest of them kind of kung-fuing, and then Jessica gets in and literally just, like, her move is pick someone up, throw them at wall.
Yeah, exactly. And it works. Yeah. It's simple. She's super strong.
Yep.
There's for anyone that hasn't watched it, to get a kind of an idea about where the story goes, it's heavily borrowed from, not so much Jessica Jones and Luke Cage. It's heavily from Iron Fist and Daredevil lore and history.
Yeah.
The other two are kind of just caught up in that stuff.
So, yeah, I mean, now that like both the hero casts and the supporting casts of all the different Marvel shows, well, the Netflix shows have met up and interacted, hopefully that means that at least between the Netflix shows, we'll get a bit more crossover than just Claire Temple. I mean, you had, pretty much everyone met everyone at some point. So there's the opportunity to kind of mesh them together a little bit now, which would make sense considering they've now had their team up where they never said their Defender name, because of course they didn't. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Also, there was a teaser for Punisher at the end, which was cool.
Yes. The Punisher logo, still amazing.
Yeah, it's a very good rendition of it.
Oh, yes. And just the fact that what it represents, amazing.
Mm.
I can't wait for the Punisher show.
Yeah, I don't think they've even given a timeline for it yet, so...
It seems like they're filming pretty much all of them. Hasn't Jessica Jones started as well, apparently?
And yes, Jessica Jones has started, and David Tennant was spotted on set in full Purple Man regalia. Whether he's back or a flashback, as yet unconfirmed. But he does have regenerative powers in the comics, so it's possible.
I hope they don't do him again. I hope that he is just... maybe it'll just delve into their past a bit more, and something from their past will pop up. That's the easy thing to go with, but I hope they just don't bring him back again. Jessica Jones doesn't need yet another speedster bad guy season.
Yeah, I was going to say.
It just gets shit. So yeah, it'd be good if it's just him being kind of there and perhaps already set something in motion.
Yeah.
That's going to come back and bite Jessica Jones in the ass. Yeah, so it's going to be interesting to see where all the character shows go from here and how much crossover they get. Hopefully we get some Iron Fist and Power Man crossover some more. Because they are...
That would be amazing.
The moments where you get them just sitting there talking to each other are actually really, really good.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice that... I think they've both been confirmed for their second seasons. But maybe after those, just a Heroes for Hire series would be amazing.
Yeah, because yeah, Danny can learn a lot from the level-headedness of Luke Cage. He even mentions it, fighting smart.
Yeah, and Luke Cage could learn to like chill a bit if Danny was around more often and got over himself as well. Mm. Yeah, lots of good Netflix stuff coming soon, eventually, in a long time. Someday.
A couple minimum next year, you would imagine. Punisher, the rumors I thought were early next year.
Like I would imagine March. So, maybe sort of early, mid, and late. Because Jessica Jones, I think, will be next year. And wait, has Daredevil been confirmed for a third season?
I don't actually know.
Yeah.
I thought it had. Maybe people just thought it's a shoo-in for a third season. Although, that'll be interesting to see where Daredevil goes after the finale.
There has been some other TV-related news in the last week. Firstly, Game of Thrones had another leak of the episode, which I did partake of. It was very good. Then I realized that means waiting 2 weeks for the next episode after the cliffhanger of that episode.
Like a sucker.
But it's okay because hackers are threatening to leak the next episode as well. The finale. Well,
they have been threatening to leak all the episodes so far, and the two leaks that have come out have been not related to those hackers at all. So whether they can actually release it, we shall see.
I mean, didn't they leak the first episode?
Apparently not.
Well, the first one that leaked, I mean.
The first one apparently was a leak in a... it wasn't with HBO specifically. It was in one of their distribution outlets. Oh, okay. It came out through there. And then this second one was someone airing it over, accidentally airing
HBO Spain.
In Spain, which I imagine was just, it was a repeat episode, like of the Monday episode.
It was a catch up.
It was supposed to be, yeah. And it, whoever queued it up, queued the wrong episode up, and it got out.
And all I can say is, gracias España.
Because I mean, I'll just watch it tomorrow and then, yeah. Because it seems horrible to have to wait extra long for an episode. I'd rather wait a few days to then, for one episode, to then not have to wait, you know, what seems like 2 weeks for the finale, so.
It's fine. I've got my Monday night to myself now. Yeah, it's very good. You'll like it. Things occur.
I mean, every episode has been stunning so far.
Oh, yeah. Other TV news, a little bit funnier. You know how Sense8 got canned by Netflix in the second season?
Yeah, I know where you're going with this. I heard this story. Yep. This is amazing.
A streaming company has come out with an open letter from their, I think, vice president to the Wachowski siblings, saying that they're willing to support the show and fund it for a third season.
I just want to see the logo at the start of every episode. I would start watching the show just for that.
The company that is supporting, offering to support the third season is X-Hamster, or Cross-Hamster?
I'd say X-Hamster.
Yeah.
Not that I am familiar with such things. What is X-Hamster? I'm a wholesome boy.
It is a grown-up films streaming service.
French cinema.
For grown-up films. For naked hugs.
Hmm.
And they want to support Sense8, which is amazing. This is the world we live in. Also, the fact that they said, we don't want to make a porn or a parody or make it super R-rated. We just really like Sense8 and we want more of it. So, can we give you some money, please?
The genius of this is if it actually gets made, the amount of buzz around the show will be huge just because it will be, oh, it's that show made by the porn...
Yeah.
The porn streaming website. They don't even need to advertise it at all because people will just know.
Yeah. And I mean, like, episodes of TV shows have been sort of leaked and uploaded to porn sites in the past. I'm pretty sure episodes of Game of Thrones and also How to Train Your Dragon 2 have appeared on Pornhub.
It's been kind of a way to hide stuff. There's lots of... There's actually quite a lot of non-porn on porn sites. Things get hidden there, specifically because no one actually goes there for takedown notices, except... you know, actual porn distribution companies. Yeah, it's kind of a funny thing.
It's so amazing. I was just looking at so Xhamster is currently one of the most trafficked websites on the internet. They get more visitors daily than the New York Times, ESPN, or the Daily Mail. So they've got the customer base.
Yeah.
And that would be the most brilliant sort of cross-company agreement ever.
So, I want to see this happen. I haven't watched Sense8. I have no investment in the show emotionally or anything at all. I just want to see this happen just to say, yeah, I saw this happen.
I love the show. I haven't watched the second season yet because if I watch it, it's over. But
apparently not.
This could be a continuation. So let's see how that goes. There hasn't been a response from the Wachowskis or anything yet. So I look forward to finding out how that goes. Other than that, there's some video game news that occurred. Would you like to talk about some video game news?
Sure, why not?
There's not much. Firstly, kind of, we talked the last couple of weeks about the No Man's Sky patch.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've both gone in and had a bit of a play with it now.
I actually reset my save. So I backed up my old save, started a new one. They did fix the bug with not unlocking technology slots. So now if you actually go and unlock technology slots, it works. So that's cool. I also found a freighter today, a crashed freighter.
Oh, nice. I haven't found one yet.
I believe it's part of, like, you have to find one if you start a new game. Because you go find one. Well, I did in my game, to go get your first warp drive going. You find a schematic.
Oh, okay.
In the wreckage. So that it seems like that they've kind of hard coded it into the game, so you will get to see one. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, I had a bit of a play around with it, not heaps. Started down the new story campaign, which seems pretty interesting. There's some new architecture involved. You sort of start getting weird transmissions, then you have to go find a holo communication thing, which is this really cool kind of ornate tower that you find randomly on a planet. There's some new elements. Like, the world generation stuff has definitely taken a big step up. I've seen heaps of people are really happy about the new grass. So, cool.
The new grass does look very good.
Yeah. Just like, there's an extra layer of polish on there. Haven't gotten as many sort of awkward creatures either, which is nice. I forgot how often you had to scrounge for fucking launch thruster fuel, though.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, is there ever a point where you upgrade the launch thrusters so it doesn't deplete in 4 launches?
Nope.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Okay.
It seems like if you that had, like, better, more efficient thrusters, it would use less fuel. Apparently not. It doesn't matter. It's just always the same amount.
There's just one launch thruster that exists in the universe and everybody uses it. It's a monopoly of the market.
Yeah.
I haven't found my way through all of the new story stuff, and I still haven't found a crash freighter, which is kind of a bummer. It actually held my attention for a while, which was nice.
Yeah, it's definitely a step up again, because every patch so far has been a step up. I still want to see more of the planetary generation stuff that we mentioned last week. I definitely think that would make the game a bit more exciting to actually explore. I would spend more time on a planet if there was actually stuff to explore like that, but it's the same landscape over and over again. I really want them to have a way to try and track down those excess animals that never pop up. So when you want to try and you've got 10 different species on the planet and you get 8 in the first 2 seconds, and then the last 2 you could spend an eternity watching or looking for, and you just never find them, and there's no hints to where they might be.
Is it a ground animal? Is it a flying animal? Is it a subterranean animal? Just something.
Even if it was just things like you can discover bones on a planet, and it might be the bones of creatures, and it might give you hints as to where they might be. or what they might that look like, cool. stuff like that, just to make it a bit easier to actually find these animals, because it's super frustrating. Because that's a good way to make money, is to find all the animals on the planet. So that kind of thing. The inventory system still needs more polish. If I can stack 5 things in my ship, why can't I create, if I've got one there, why can't I create another one on top of that one?
Yeah.
Yeah, just things like that, the housekeeping. Tell me how I can fucking get Atlas passes. Give me a clear progression on Atlas passes.
Yes, so there's still nothing in there. Ugh.
Yeah. They need to polish the inventory system a lot more to actually make it not super frustrating to do anything.
It's better, but it's not great.
Yeah.
I continued with my existing save. I did not lose my vocabulary, which is very good because...
I don't know what it is. I lost all my vocabulary. It was all gone. All the aliens were speaking gibberish. It was bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah. In less great patch news, over the weekend, there was an announcement from BioWare about Mass Effect Andromeda, confirming that the last patch to be released, 1.10, is the final patch that the game will be receiving for single-player content. And they won't be doing any more. Which was kind of expected, because the studio that created Andromeda got shut down and kind of merged into other teams. They've said there'll still be an announcement coming during the week about the multiplayer side of things, but I'm guessing it's not going to last any longer than the end of the year for their final patch. And then it's done. It's just done.
I mean, modders will pick it up and they'll create their own kind of weird, wonderful fixes for it. This is, even getting patches is spoilt. We are spoilt for patches these days. Think back to the 90s where you just didn't get patches.
Well, yeah.
Admittedly, games back then were more polished when they came out. There was no such thing as rushing to get it on the market. And we'll just fix it with day one patches and patches after the fact. But, all games have their final patch. This is admittedly what I believe it's been out for, a year? Year and a half?
5 months.
The game's only been out for 5 months, has it?
Yeah, it came out in March this year.
Wow, it seems like it's been out for longer than that.
Yep. Mm. 5 months, 10 patches.
Oh, yeah, it was March or some shit, wasn't it?
Yeah, end of March. Mm. Like 10 patches in 5 months, varying sizes, sure, but that's a lot of patches in that short amount of time. It by no means fixed the game. Like, I was playing on 1.10 when I finished it. It's still real broken. Kind of a bummer. Kind of expected. And they have said that, like, stuff like the books and the comics will be continuing, but not the game itself.
Oh, well.
Wah, wah. Yeah, that's it. R.I.P. Mass Effect Andromeda. You tried your hardest. You didn't do great, but you were still decent. Maybe if you'd waited till it was at 1.10 patch stage before releasing it, we'd be in a better place right now.
Yeah. Or maybe we were spoiled by 3 pretty great Mass Effect games.
3 very great Mass Effect. Oh, okay. 2 really great Mass Effect games and 1 first installment that was very unique at its time.
Yeah. Things that you get spoiled by such good stuff, such high quality, and then you don't get something that you still get is still good quality, but just not up to that same standard. And then it seems it's very common these days. It's unfortunate that the culture is just a shit all over it. And then say, it's terrible, it's terrible. It's like, it's not terrible. It's just not up to the same standard as everything else.
It was pretty bad. The only other thing I've got noted down here, just a little bit of side news of potential good news. There was a new trailers dropped for Pokemon Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon, which have laid some hints. Firstly, the kind of gist of the story is there's dark clouds appearing over Alola and new stuff will happen. There's extra islands and buildings and stuff. The story's going to revolve around one of the legendaries from Sun and Moon that didn't really get much story, Necrozma. So not one of the title legendaries, a third. There was a split-second shot in the trailer featuring one of the new characters who is a man with giant hair, but he was in a location that looked very much like it could be Lieutenant Surge's gym from Kanto.
Interesting.
I don't know if you remember back that far, but the gimmick of Lieutenant Surge's gym was there were the rows of rubbish bins, mm-hmm. and some of them had switches hidden in them to help you progress through. And the shot is of the two characters talking in front of what is clearly a line of trash cans.
Right, right. So maybe they're going to be, maybe it's going to be a bit of cut back between them.
Yeah, we could be going back to Gen 2 style, sort of revisiting a previous area, which would be amazing. Like seeing Kanto again rendered in like full 3D, assumably like several years on as well. That could be cool. I mean, it could just be a coincidence. It could be that this new giant hair dude is just a fan of Lieutenant Surge and set his gym up similarly. But we won't know for another little while. I think it comes out in November. But if they do have a recreation of Kanto, or even a portion of Kanto in the game, that would be enough to convince me to go back and get it.
At the moment, it just sounds, from what you said, it just sounds like what should probably be just DLC for the games.
Yeah.
It's the same thing, but with just a little bit extra and a bit of extra story. So I don't know. Yeah, I mean,
it's no different to sort of Gold, Silver, Crystal, Ruby, Sapphire, Emerald, that kind of stuff, where they just added a bit, but
doesn't make it right.
Is sort of a, it's a quicker turnaround at this point. I'll hang out to see it, because if they add that much extra content to the game, I would get it. If it's just extra story stuff in the same region, probably not.
It could just be they're bringing Surge over into this game. He's retired to Hawaii, basically. And and so they might have some flashbacks to his thing, or he might have just set up some sort of like similar gym. Maybe not an official gym, but just like a training thing or something like that. Yeah. So they can, who knows. It might just be another person in his unit. Might be his brother. Could be all sorts of, stuff like that.
I mean, yeah, it's not much to go on, but, Sun and Moon were full of references to Kanto in the same way that previous games have made a lot of references to regions that then go on to be recreated. So, X and Y had a lot of references to the Ruby Sapphire region, and then we had Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire. So, that combined with this sort of included shot, which, like, Pokemon Company know that their fans are, like, obsessive about this shit, so they could well have included this, like, literal one-second shot as a way of saying, yeah, we know, now you know, or you think you know, and maybe we'll tell you later, you know?
And we've just made it a slam dunk for selling 1 billion copies of this game.
You know, well, 2 million instead of the 1 million they would have gotten anyway.
Well, that's right.
So that'll about do us for this week. Thanks for tuning in for your weekly dose of The Indoorsman, your podcast guide to shitting on Iron Fist and reminiscing about games that died.
Our man, Rocco W, of course, does our intro and outro music. I don't know if he knows that he does our intro and outro music.
I don't know that he does.
But that wasn't part of the license on his music that he created, which is the excellent Fuck Sidechain Compression on Game Boy.
Open source.
Yeah. So you can go to Bandcamp and Google and all kinds of crazy stuff to find his stuff, but you should definitely give it a listen to because it is pretty fun chiptune stuff.
Do it. You can find us online at indoorsmanpodcast.com or The Indoorsman on Facebook. We're also on Twitter and Instagram at indoorsmanpod if you want to see us not tweet or very regularly post album covers.
If you want to get us individually on Twitter, which Matt is apparently more active on now, can get him at Ponk. And if you want to tweet at me, I'll get a notification and think, what the hell am I getting a notification for? But we'll be happy anyway to hear from someone. You can get me at Cliff and Monkey.
So yeah, you can tweet at Cliff. There's no guarantee he'll respond because I did put him on blast for Mass Effect related things earlier today and he has not come back to me.
Wait. You like did something in my Twitter or added, did
I
something
added you.
With the right. Let me, okay. I've got to find this. Do I even have, I do have Twitter installed. Okay, cool. On my phone. Let me have a quick look. Right. Apparently only dumb idiots get Rex killed. Cough, cough. I didn't kill Rex.
Yep.
Someone else killed Rex.
You got him killed.
I didn't get one killed. Look, if that dumbass is going to fire up and not actually listen to a word of logic, he deserves to be killed.
Don't you say that about Rex.
I'll say that about anybody.
My sweet giant monster turtle boy.
Look, if they wanted me to save everyone, they should have given me legitimate options instead of forcing me down one of two paths every single time.
Like saving him or letting him die?
It was okay. I didn't miss Rex.
You would have if you had him.
Well, yeah, you can't miss something you don't know. So,
We'd also like it if you could subscribe, review, and rate the show on iTunes or your pod medium of choice, because that is good for us, and what's good for us is good for you, because we keep doing this because it makes us feel nice.
But for now, he's been Matt,
and he's been Cliff, and to sign off, let's see if we can get more streaming porn sites to support like new seasons of our favorite shows.
Pornhub could bring back Firefly.
I don't care if it's Porn Firefly. It can be Porn Firefly. I would support that. I was going to say Young Justice, but that's already coming back for a new season, and they didn't even need Porn's help. But there will be Porn made of that show.
Yeah.
I think we're done.